Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We'll see what happens here in about 35 minutes as the self-imposed 8 a.m. deadline from Pam Bondi comes to its tipping point, as the FBI agents and the field office from the Southern District of New York have until the top of the hour to hand over apparently these thousands of documents that were excluded from what Pam Bondi thought was the full Epstein file. So phase two, phase three, I feel like we're talking about the hostage releases from Israel. Remember when Joe Biden's like, yeah, there's going to be five phases and we're going to roll this out over 6 weeks. To me, when we talk about these FBI files and the Epstein stuff, give it to us all. And here's the other thing with this, and I don't want to get into some other stuff as well. Do we really need it in dribs and drabs? Can't you just come out? And here's the other thing, because a lot of people have small attention spans and they don't have the time to comb through hundreds, if not thousands, of pages. Can we just get like a Cliff Note version of person X did Y with Z on Epstein Island? Just and then provide us, you know, some pictures, some videos, a couple of bullet points. Let us be able to process it and digest it, because most of us do not have the attention span or the time in our lives to read through thousands of pages. That will be my last ask. You know, I know we live in this world. Here's my ask. I am asking that you are capable of doing X, Y, or Z. That's all I want. And then we can move on from this story, or we can at least react to this story. But we'll see what happens here in the next 35 minutes. All right, so Phil printed this out, and he's going to throw it up on YouTube. This is Al Sharpton's DEI boycott plan for a 24-hour economic blackout that is actually 7 hours and 25 minutes into already, because this is for today, Friday, February 28th. This is, according to Al Sharpton and all the grifters out there, the first step to counter the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion with the Trump administration. And what Al Sharpton is asking for all of you out there, so we are imploring you to do the complete opposite, by the way, in case you didn't know that. Do not make any purchases today, okay? So make a bunch. Spend your paycheck today. It's a Friday, right? We're all getting paid,
yeah,
probably,
yeah,
right?
So this is if you go over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT, Al Sharpton's DEI boycott plan.
That is correct.
24-hour blackout.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Do not shop online or in a store. Do not purchase anything from Amazon. Do not purchase anything from Walmart. Do not go to the Geek Squad at Best Buy. No McDonald's or other fast food stores. Do not purchase gas. No major retailers. And do not use your credit or your debit card for non-essential spending. Try to buy all you need before today or after. But if necessary, because Al Sharpton is a nice guy, he says only buy essentials of absolute necessity, such as food, medicine, and emergency supplies. And if you must spend, only support small local businesses.
I mean, that's a good thing.
I actually agree with that. Yeah, I'm a small business person.
Yeah.
He says why this matters. Corporations and banks only care about their bottom line. Disrupting the economy, even for one day, sends a powerful message. If they don't listen, we make the next blackout longer. Our numbers are powerful. This is how we make history. Spread the message. Please share with all of your contacts. Talk about it. Post it. Document your actions that day. Sounds like a Doge email mandate. What did you do today? We must be powerful. We must use the power we do have and send an economic message with our members, as did Dr. King. February 28th, the 24-hour economic blackout begins. I actually think Dawn's back there shopping on Amazon right now. Dawn, did you purchase anything for the house that Larry's going to have to sign for?
Larry doesn't have to sign for anything.
Oh, see, Nick, your sexism shows.
Oh,
your sexism shows.
All right,
Dawn is a successful woman.
You guys gonna buy anything today?
Sure.
I think Phil Omquist might.
I'd buy things every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phil Omquist. Let's bring him in. I think Phil's actually plotting out his attack route today. Phil, what are you gonna do today in defiance to Al Sharpton?
Well, look at this list. So I can hit every single one of these places on my way home from here.
Okay.
Because my commute normally is a street road from the basically Warrington, Warminster area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Take a street road. I pass where Trump was at McDonald's. I mean, yeah, Trump was at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Take 95 in.
Yep.
So we're going to, on our way home, stop at Trump's McDonald's. There's a Sunoco pretty much next door. I think there's a CVS or something along those lines right there. So I'm going to hit
gas.
Both of those.
It's a McDonald's
there's
gas.
There's an Amazon Fresh store shortly down the road. When I get to Warrington, I'm going to stop at Walmart and then eventually go over to Best Buy, and I'm going to use my credit card, and I'm also going to document all this stuff on my social media feeds. I'm going to hit it all, everything against everything they're saying right here.
On your way home.
I
like it.
Okay.
So you're going to do the opposite of the Al Sharpton DEI boy. And I'm guessing he's calling out these businesses because they're the ones that said they're not going to keep their DEI.
Yeah, they've been rolling back their DEI practices. We've actually gone through the list of all the big corporations that are jumping on the Trump bandwagon and ditching everything that we had to be subjected to the last 4 or 5 years.
And so for a couple days now, they've been putting this out here.
Yep.
And it's spearheaded by the People's Union USA, which is a grassroots group. It's not even Al Sharpton. It's actually started with this group, the People's Union USA.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're saying is, hey, these biggity big companies, and they're naming Target, Walmart, all these other, and they're saying, these guys are rolling back DEI, so you, America, you should not shop for 24 hours because you need to show them.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Good luck with it. This is not Rosa Parks, people. We'll say, this is going to be a big nothing burger.
I totally agree. Totally agree. And look, you boycott whatever you want. I was all for in the summer of 2023, people boycotting Kohl's and Target because of weren't we talking about like LGBTQ onesies and all this sexualized stuff in the kids section for clothing? And you know, we saw the pushback then. So I'm all for a boycott. Do whatever you want. I'm all for boycotting big corporations, whether it's a message I agree with or not. I don't think that's cancel culture. I think cowardice cancel culture is when you go after a single individual that voiced their opinion under the rights of free speech in the First Amendment, and you try to end somebody's livelihood that lives paycheck to paycheck. You want to go after the big corporations for good, bad, or ugly, or for better or worse? It doesn't matter to me. It's your right. But we have seen countless companies that have ditched DEI. I've got the list here of just a handful. It's Meta. It's McDonald's. It's Walmart. It's Boeing. It's Molson Coors. It's Lowe's. It's Ford. It's Jack Daniels, Harley Davidson, John Deere, Tractor Supply, Toyota, Nissan, Caterpillar Inc. I mean, there's so many companies that have jumped off, including Google.
Yeah.
Remember, Google was one of the latest in the last few weeks. If Google's ditching DEI, DEI is done.
Phil, can you pull up cut three here? This is the chairman for Costco, Tony James. He was on CNBC, and he said that we're not changing our DEI policy.
Okay.
He thinks DEI is a part of meritocracy.
Well, that it runs counter to meritocracy, but knock yourself out, Skip.
You're welcome. Roll it.
Tony, I have a separate question on a completely other topic, which is DEI. Obviously, it's swept the country one way and is now sweeping the country another way, in large part because of President Trump. Costco, obviously, is ending its DEI programs in large part.
No.
Well, I mean, you're keeping some, but not completely.
We haven't changed our DEI.
At all?
No.
Oh, then I'm mistaken. So
there were headlines to that effect. I saw them.
No, there were headlines saying, signaling Costco out as the company that's
not Costco. I was thinking you said Blackstone.
BlackRock certainly retreated. Yeah.
Yes.
But this is
Costco
a cluster F of a segment,
has gotten a lot of visibility, more than we ever wanted or needed, because it's standing behind its current policies and procedures, and none of them are illegal. We've had every legal lawyer look at it, and none of them are new. None of them are post George Floyd. These things go back literally to the company's founding. We had our first, we took an executive vice president from operations and made him our first diversity officer over 20 years ago. We think of this as not so much for the social good, although I think it is. We think of this as part of a meritocracy. If we attract a broader talent pool,
that's
with 300,000 employees, we attract a broader talent pool,
yeah,
and we work with them all individually, given their different backgrounds, to be the best professionals they can be, we have a better employee base to choose from. And I think it enhances our ability to be a meritocracy. Costco is the highest torque retailer in the world. We had to do the biggest volume per building, the biggest volume per square foot on the smallest margins. We have to execute flawlessly every single day. We can't have anything that's not based on merit.
DEI and meritocracy are like oil and water. Okay, they're not even the same. They don't jive, they don't mesh, they run completely counter to each other. But by the way, that host, I think during the next commercial, hit his producer in the back with a steel chair for probably not informing him properly, although I guess ultimately it's on the host. But that was a bad look for that guy. I mean, look, you can continue. And yeah, this DEI, and I know people might be surprised by this, this was accelerated on steroids post-George Floyd in 2020, 2021. But there have been many companies that have had these social credit scores and have been cognizant. My sister is a biggity big, as Dawn would say, in human resources. They've been doing DEI type stuff since 2012, 2014. This stuff has been around for 10, 12 years. And this is one of these guys right here who's on CNBC, where I think he probably truly values that social credit score, because when you're ranked high, then you don't have to deal with the big, powerful lobbyist groups like some of the LGBTQ plus groups that end up showing up in front of your company and trying to boycott you. But I think a lot of these companies, whether it's Walmart, Target, McDonald's, Amazon, Meta, Google, I think they sat down and said, it's not so much that Trump got elected and Trump is ending DEI. I think they looked at it as, okay, do we want the social credit score, or do we want to have our profits go back up? To me, I would say it's about your bottom line far better than a social credit score. Sadly, it takes courage, I think, to do that, because you do have the groups out there that now advocate against companies for ditching DEI. But this goes back to what I've been saying for years, even before this show started. Do you ever see DEI in a small business?
Of course not.
Of course not.
But this whole thing was started by this white dude who's a progressive Democrat, John Schwartz. I sent you guys a video of him. So he's been doing it for a month. He has been putting out these videos, and it has gained a little traction on social media. And this is because he's angry that they've rolled back DEI, because Trump was right in doing this. Trump won. Get over yourself. And so I think this goes, is anybody really not going to shop for 24 hours because of John Schwartz? Absolutely not.
No.
That's not happening. Are they not going to go to Target or whatever, wherever place he doesn't want? No, they're not. And so it's just another, like, these progressives, they don't get it.
Right.
That the election is over, the people have spoken, and people are going to shop. And to Phil Almquist's point, I'm definitely going to make a point to go out and shop like I've never shopped before.
I'm getting a quarter pounder. There's no doubt. I'm getting a quarter pounder today, Dawn. I am getting a number, I want that bad boy supersized.
Stop the one in Trevos like Phil Almquist is. Phil, jump back on the mic, friend. Are you going to document all of this on social media?
Yes, I will, and I will definitely get fries when I stop at the McDonald's.
If you could record a video on your phone at the drive-thru as you place your order, and make sure that's included in your thread.
Almquist on air, right, is your Twitter handle? Almquist,
yes. Yes, A-L-M. Yes, definitely find me on Twitter.
Q-U-I-S-T on air. Almquist on air.
Yes. There you go. And, you know, I think a lot of people, especially on the far left, as far as progressivism goes, when we talk about DEI, they try to boil it down to white versus black. But DEI encompasses, you know, every, quote, marginalized community. So those that are against DEI look at it from a meritocracy standpoint. And I want to bring up just the black element here. My buddy Athan Kutsarumbas has a great column up for Real Clear Politics PA with the title being Black Men Poised to Shake Up the Pennsylvania Political Landscape. I won't read the whole thing for you. In summary, the black male voter in Pennsylvania will be a major factor as to whether or not Pennsylvania continues to go red. Trump got 24% of the black male vote in Pennsylvania. And then I see from the Daily Caller an article with black-owned small businesses where they quote multiple small business owners that are black who said, DEI is not for us, and those policies do not help our business. This was written by Ireland Owens of the Daily Caller. You can read it. The headline is DEI isn't for us. Some black-owned small businesses say diversity policies don't work. A lot of great quotes in there on black business owners saying, No, the DEI thing does not work. It goes back to the point I just made. Do you ever see small businesses of 10 or less employees that, you know, implement DEI hiring practices? No, because you want the best employees. If you have a limited salary and a limited payroll for limited staffers, and let's say you're opening up a privately owned cell phone store. Remember when those little authorized retailers would pop up? We're an official Verizon retailer, and it's owned by Bob. If he's going to hire five people, do you think he sits there and says, I want to hire one black person, one Asian person, one female, a straight white dude, and somebody that identifies as a transgender individual? No, he doesn't think like that because he'll go out of business. He's looking for the best people regardless of what box they check. The only place this exists is where these corporations can handle potentially a drop-off in productivity and profitability on their bottom line for the sake of a social credit score. Because when you're the CEO of Costco, if your profits drop by 1%, your life doesn't change. You're still in the 1%. Bob, who runs a business that lives paycheck to paycheck, who has to deal with a dreaded call at 2 a.m. that his furnace in his office blew up, those people do not tolerate nonsense because they just want the best employees. Because they're not living like rock stars. Surprise, surprise. A lot of small business owners, even though they're entrepreneurs and have freedom, they're not living like kings.
By the way, we have that video that Dawn was just discussing. Dawn, yeah. Who is this again?
His name is Schultz. John Schultz. Schwartz. John Schwartz.
Yeah, Schwartz. And he's the one who organized this whole thing?
Yes. He created the People's Union USA.
That's the first time I'm hearing about this today.
Roll just a few pieces.
My fellow Americans, the 24-hour economic blackout is coming.
That Dave DeRozan?
On Friday, February 28th, the People's Union will make its first move. Now, some of you might be wondering, why does this matter? What impact will one day of economic resistance really have? Let me explain it to you. Mm-hmm. For decades, they have told us that we are powerless, that we have no control, and that this system is too big, too strong, too unshakable. But here's what they don't want you to realize. We, the people, are the system. We are the ones who build. We are the ones who buy. And we are the ones who make this country run. Without us, they have nothing. So what happens when we stop playing their game? You see, the economy does not belong to the rich. It belongs to us, the people who wake up every day and keep this country moving. But instead of serving us, the system has been designed to exploit us. Corporations profit off of our labor while keeping wages low. Banks steal billions through inflation and predatory policies.
All right, you get it.
There you go. I would say the only boycott that I've seen recently in the last 2 years that really worked, that had lasting sustainability, was the Bud Light boycott.
Yep.
The rest of these all fall by the wayside in 20 hours.
You also can't make such a blanket statement that we're going to boycott Walmart,
yeah,
Amazon. Like, all of these people, all of these companies people use on their daily in their daily lives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, boycotting Bud Light is, okay, so I don't buy that beer, I buy another beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're asking people who maybe their only grocery store,
yeah,
is Walmart.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so to say to boycott that is just not, it's, yeah, but ridiculous.
You're right. You are right. And also, who, John Schwartz, you are so full of yourself. You are a legend in your own living room as you make your little video. Yes. We the people voted. We voted, and we voted Trump, and we voted to get rid of all of this crud, yep, and bring back and save America.
Mm-hmm.
So, go. You know, I'm glad for him that he has the freedom to make his little videos,
sure,
of his little self-important self.
That's why, but, we played it.
You know, I'm just saying that if this guy is so
Dawn, if you want to say, if you want to say, go F yourself,
I wouldn't say that.
I have the dump button right here.
If she ever says that, I'm just gonna run into that studio and hug you.
I'm just kidding. Please don't say it.
No, I would not say that. But I mean, think about what he's really doing is he's still trying to put this up in our faces. He's still trying to rebel against us, we the people,
mm-hmm,
and we've spoken.
Yeah, and DEI is one of these things, just like the transgender sports policy. 70, 75, 80% of Americans are like, nah,
we don't want that.
Get rid of it.
We have spoken. So, I mean, he can make his little videos, good for him.
Yep.
But I do, I just hope that people, like, I definitely, like Phil Holmquist, I definitely am going to go out and patronize these places
yep.
just to make the point.
Oh, I can't wait for a quarter pounder. God, I'm salivating. It's been years. All right,
speaking of quarter pounder,
yeah.
Who's in the on deck circle?
Oh, well, it's another F word, but it's an F word we can say on radio. It's Farish. Sean Farish. Oh, Farish Fridays.
I'm sure he has a few things to say. Are you?
I don't think he slept last night.
He is locked and loaded.
He is. And he'll join us for the cut sheet coming up next. Kale and Company, back after this. But first, let me tell you about my friends at Natural Lawn of America. That's my lawn care company. Did you hear that? But it should be yours as well, because when you're choosing a lawn care service, it makes sense to hire a company that provides better results and is safer not only for you, but also your family and those beloved pets. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals, which is why they use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. But don't just take my word for it. Join the growing number. Heck, it's a movement, folks, of homeowners that are switching to Natural Lawn safer services and start enjoying that beautiful lawn today. And when you schedule their full service program today, you will get free seeding every single year. That's right. If you want a greener, healthier lawn, plus free seeding on an annual basis, call Natural Lawn today. 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so give it to them. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We say good morning to Sean Farish, who I don't think slept at a wink last night. Hello, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I slept. I mean, I didn't sleep well, but I slept. You know, I had to be ready to get in here and rock the cut sheet with the greatest morning show in the country. Woo! So I had to get a couple of winks, you know, a little bit of shut eye, but not much. Yeah. What a mess yesterday. You know,
what a mess.
When I woke up this morning, I made sure that I set my alarm. My alarm ringtone was the, you know, circus. And then I had all three cats that we have in here walk into the bedroom with binders with nothing in them. So,
you know. Oh, we are ready to do this.
Let's
do
it. Fire.
Oh, we're so ready. Let's go. Yeah, we're
so what's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet? And they are getting the biggest bang for their buck today, because I have a feeling a lot of people are tuning into the cut sheet this morning. Sponsored by Meineke. When you step on their brakes, do you hear a squeal or a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring the ever-important Friday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. We begin this way.
Jeffrey Epstein. This afternoon, a bunch of conservative influencers left a meeting at the White House with binders that said the Epstein files, phase one. Once the binders were opened, people were able to see flight records and Epstein's Rolodex and a list of masseuses. The masseuses' names were blacked out, and the information from the flight logs wasn't new. Neither was the Rolodex. When we began to feel duped, Pam Bondi released a letter that says, basically, I was duped too. In the letter addressed to FBI Director Kash Patel, Bondi basically says, I asked you for the full and complete files related to Jeffrey Epstein. I received 200 pages of documents. I asked if these were all the documents, and the FBI said yes. Late yesterday, I learned from a source that the FBI field office in New York was in possession of thousands of pages of documents related to the investigation and the indictment of Epstein. Despite my repeated requests, the FBI never disclosed the evidence of these files.
There you go.
Sean Farish, we have bloviated long enough on this story. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, you know, Jesse Waters wants to say we all got screwed. Jesse Waters should be the first person to be upset, because I think Pam Bondi lied to him the night before. And that's the biggest problem, right? Because she was on with him and said, I have the files and it's sick. But then she released the files and it was all stuff that we already knew. And that she had the whole thing on her desk. So either the whole thing was on her desk or the whole thing was not on her desk and was incomplete. You see, I think both things can't be true at the same time, which is an issue. I'm not saying there's not issues over there in the Southern District of New York, And by the way, I think we don't need them to send their email about five things that they did this week, right? Shredding. Like we know what they did. We know what they've been up to. We know what they haven't been up to. My problem with yesterday's binder, you know, three ring circus, whole nine yards that went on yesterday. I don't really care that the influencers were there. Apparently, they weren't there for that. They were there to meet with Trump and Vance. They were being thanked for their help during the election. Like Scott Pressler was there. A bunch of people were there for, you know, as a, basically a thank you for their 2024 services. And they just so happened to have been given the binders at the same time, you know, as a result of them already being there. So that's what I understand about that. I'm not sure if that's the full story, but that's what I've heard about the influence. I don't care if the influencers are there, because I got to be honest, the folks that they gave those binders to, I trust. We've gotten information from them. They've been very forthright. They've been very good with info. People want to say, oh, are they going to monetize off of it? Well, everyone's got to eat, you know, so I wouldn't be upset if folks, you know, regular media would monetize off of it, too. It's just what they've got to do. So I'm not really upset about that. I'm upset that they gave these quote unquote these influencers information that wasn't new, and then they redacted information that was already public. I understand from a legal standpoint, they had to do it because if they release it, they have to put the redactions in there versus, you know, the stuff that's out, the same pages that's out was a leak. So if the government releases it legally, they have to redact certain things. But I mean, here's the bottom line with yesterday. OK, we were told a list was coming. Nothing came. Now people are blaming each other. Bondi's blaming the Southern District of New York and the FBI. You got Comey's daughter as the assistant U.S. attorney out there in the Southern District of New York. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. You know, she was leading the case when Epstein allegedly killed himself. It's hard to do that when, you know, you're on suicide watch or whatever. But then apparently the cameras suspiciously went off, you know. Nothing to see here.
Yep.
But I think yesterday, look, the bottom line is here's where I'm at. If indeed this was sabotage, insubordination, folks defying orders in the Southern District of New York and the FBI out of New York, find those people, prosecute those people to the fullest extent of the law, and make examples out of those people, because unless you have accountability, it is going to happen again, period. That's it, right? Like when your dog takes a dump on your rug, you have to make sure that your dog in the future doesn't do that again. Yeah. So you discipline the dog, not like Christy Noem, how she disciplines the dog. No. But, you know what I'm saying, right? Yep. So you make sure that that's, you know, parents have to discipline their child if they do. If they make mistakes, and it's a whole thing, learning and growing and the whole nine. If you don't, you know, make it clear to your pet, your dog, that crapping on the rug is not okay, then it's going to continue to happen, yep. Right? So yep. there has to be consequences. And by the way, when we talk about crapping on the rug, okay? A friend of mine on X shared something a few days ago. He used to work for the government. $46,000 for a new floor at the Vatican. What do you think that was for?
It was Joe. Bad boy.
Yeah. And then $15,000. And by the way, $15,000 for new linens at the Vatican. Yeah.
I know. I know we've got more clips to get to. I just want to follow up with what you're saying here, because you had a video last night that was really great, and I quoted you this morning where you said, "I didn't vote for this," and I use that kind of as the backdrop to, you know, we talk about, you know, Doge, which, by the way, Doge, these FBI people, if they are the ones providing the resistance to Pam, but, you know, we talk about Doge and Elon, and hey, we voted for this, we're getting what we voted for, but now the flip side of the coin is we're getting something we did not vote for. So when you think about this, and this, we're coming up on about 2 minutes till the 8 a.m. deadline that Pam Bondi imposed on the FBI. Do you think we're going to have the FBI turn over anything else? Do you think a phase two and a phase three is coming? Where do we go from here? Where are you at with that part?
Well, Ana Paulina Luna says phase two is coming and there will be new information. Now, I've heard this before, right? I mean, literally the night before, Wednesday night, Pam Bondi was on Fox News talking about, yeah, you're going to see some files and you're going to see some stuff, and it's sick what he did, and there's a lot of victims, and I have it on my desk. So I'm at, you know, I'll believe it when I see it territory. And I'm always like that, because I get the, you know, the Jets are going to do this, that, and the other thing this year. And then they do, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. Phil Omquist knows what I'm talking about. I'll believe it when I see it. Right. But I do think we're going to see the FBI turn the documents over. But I don't think they're going to, I think they're going to make it as hard as possible. And when I said, you know, I didn't vote for this, I definitely did not vote for my attorney general getting played by the Southern District of New York.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Everyone has a bad day. So I'm not saying that this, she has to be fired or anything like that. What I will say is this, when phase two happens, if it's like what happened yesterday, she has to go. I'm sorry. It's like, oh, that's too quick. No. It would appear if phase two is as big of a disaster as phase one, it would appear that she's in over her head. And I understand that there's people in the government working against transparency. And, you know, James Comey apparently has been telling former FBI agents around to dig in and defy Trump's orders and things like that. Fine. You know, prosecute him. Obstruction of justice, if applicable. Right. If phase two is as messy and as chaotic, ineffective, and honestly embarrassing. That was embarrassing yesterday.
Mm-hmm, it was.
If phase two is as embarrassing as phase one, there need to be changes made. And it's unfortunate because I do think Pam Bondi is extremely smart. I think she's extremely savvy. She had a bad day yesterday.
She did.
It happens to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody.
Go ahead, Dawn.
You know, I'm just wondering what Marsha, because Marsha Blackburn was at the White House yesterday.
Tennessee.
I think she would, right. And so that's why. She's somebody as a senator who has pushed for this among others. You mentioned Luna, but I will say this. Because I don't see anything new with Marsha Blackburn. I know she was at the White House yesterday, and I wonder if you're hearing anything there in Tennessee on what insider, because I think she's instrumental in this and she's demanding this. She also demanded the IRS files, right? Not just FBI, but Epstein's IRS stuff. Are you hearing anything about that?
I haven't, but 2 weeks ago, I got a chance to talk to Marsha Blackburn. I met her for the first time here in Tennessee at an event in Williamson County. They had their Reagan Day gala, and I was a part of the event. And Congressman Burchett was there, and he is hilarious. He's like our John Kennedy. He's hysterical, this guy. When he goes off script, he is one of the funniest people I've ever seen.
I love
John. See, I love John Kennedy too. I think he's hysterical. He's a high IQ stupid people, right? One of my favorite John Kennedy segments. He went on Fox News when gas was high, and he said something along the lines of, "The price of gas is so high." You know the way he talks. They're so high, it's cheaper to do cocaine and run everywhere. I was like, did he just say that on live television? So
try harder not to suck.
Sorry.
He says, going through life is hard, but it's even harder when you're stupid. Right? Yeah. So I'm like, wow, it's great. So, but I spoke to Blackburn. This was before Cash Patel was confirmed. And she said, you know, Cash can be confirmed and we're going to get those Epstein files. So she wants them. And she's a pit bull, right? She's a pit bull. And if you remember back at the RNC, and I said this to her, you know, because she introduced herself. And I said, oh, we know who you are. We were watching you on Fox News this morning, Senator. And she said, that's great. You know, I saw your commercial in Tennessee you did for the furniture company. I said, look, one of my favorite moments I think I've ever seen of you was when you chased Kim Cheadle up the escalator at the RNC. She goes, yeah, I did that on my heels. So, you know, after the assassination attempt. So I think Senator Blackburn will get to the bottom of it. I don't know how much you're being told. How deep does this run? Is this just Southern District of New York and FBI going rogue? Or is it worse than that? Because, look, identify the people who aren't listening and make examples of them. That's it. But I have not heard anything from Blackburn's office or Blackburn at all.
Let me just play devil's advocate with the firing of Pam Bondi, because if you do that, you create a media disaster. The mainstream media will be all over this. It's chaos. It's a crisis. The Trump administration, there's, you know, 15 cooks in the kitchen. Who's in charge? All of that. I mean, if this runs as deep as you were just kind of pontificating on, does it matter if Bondi's the AG or Matt Gaetz is? I mean, if this goes way above the skis of the attorney general, if this is above Donald Trump, does it really matter who's labeled the attorney general?
No, you see, here's the problem. Is yesterday, if this is 100% because the Southern District of New York and the FBI went rogue, then I'm not sitting there suggesting that that's really Pam Bondi's fault.
Right.
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 What I'm suggesting, what happened yesterday was 0 out of 10 execution. That was just, I mean, that was everybody in the country now knows what it's like to watch Jets football after watching yesterday. That's what it was. Okay, that's what it was.
We don't relate. It was we're champions.
You know what I mean? It's it was Aaron Rodgers getting hurt on the first play last year. That's what that was yesterday. It was like, okay, all this hype and like real bad. Like yep. It could not have gone worse than how it went yesterday. That's what I mean by incompetence. Okay, if you have rogue actors, that's not Bondi's fault. She didn't put them there, right? What needs to happen is here's what he's transparency. Okay, if phase two is hitting the same roadblocks as phase one, I want a press conference. I want Bondi at that podium, and I want her to say, "Listen, okay, I want to get this information to you, the American people. I am dealing with a very large number of rogue employees and agents at the FBI who do not want to get this into the hands of the American people. I am not the source of this delay. Director Patel is not the source of this delay. Deputy Director Bongino is not the source of this delay. But those folks and myself, we are on it and we are weeding these people out now. And there has to be some sort of way that we can follow the process. The problem yesterday was we were told the night before stuff's coming out, and then we were we got the stuff yesterday, and it was nothing, and then we found out, oh well, because these people hid the information. It would have been much better had they come out in the middle of the day, right, and said, look, we were going to release it. We just realized it isn't all there because of this. Yeah. Don't even put the binder out.
Yep.
Just punt. You know, kick the can down the road or something. And people would have been mad. Oh, they're hiding stuff. They're doing this. I would have been happier if I said, oh, wow. Okay, so we have deep staters and swamp rats who are sabotaging the operation. Well, that makes sense, mm-hmm. right? Let's go ahead and clean that. Instead of putting out nothing, there was like not one bit of information that came out yesterday that qualifies as anything groundbreaking. Yeah. And you even had people now, and this is what's bad, saying, well, maybe Epstein wasn't as bad as we thought. I think he's pretty bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't want this to fall flat. This is major. It's a huge deal.
Right.
So when it comes to Bondi, and I'm basically saying, you know, if phase two is as messy, the execution needs to be cleaned up. Boom. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. If we get to phase two and the binders come out again and there's nothing in the binders, you know what? We have an issue with her leadership. If we get to phase two and all of a sudden it's like they're still holding back, call an emergency press conference, get all the media out there and say, this is what we're dealing with. And we are going to get to the bottom of what we're dealing with. But well, this is out at that point, it's out of our control.
Mm-hmm. Name names. Right. And that's just it. That's what Sean, I think I agree with you, because it's a little different than Aaron Rodgers getting injured. Right. Because nobody knew that he was going to get injured. But in this case, somebody was printing out over. Think of the printer. Printing out all of the stuff, and then they're taking the three-hole punch, and they're putting it in all of those binders, and nobody says, excuse me, Ms. Bondi, but this is not what you thought it was. Like, nobody. So either they knew it was a nothing burger and they just released it, or worse yet, she didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I am, right? So she had a bad day. Everyone had a bad day yesterday. It was not a good look. So what we do is we learn from that bad day and we say, all right, let's regroup. Right. I mean, there was a point in time in the 2024 season, the Eagles were, you know, kind of shaky, and there were people calling for Sirianni to get fired at one point. Right.
I mean, seriously. True.
Yeah.
So it was a bad start. So regroup, you know, get everyone together in the locker room, maybe flip a table or two, you know, Herb Brooks.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know,
you're
damn right, Sweden, you know. So get in there, flip a table or two, and then read the riot act and get back to work.
Do you think it helps that the big guy, Mr. President, is distracted? He's got the little guy Zelensky coming in today. He's trying to bring forth world peace. Is it a good thing that perhaps President Trump is a little distracted with that, you know, Russia-Ukraine war situation, and that he's meeting with Zelensky today, among others? Maybe it's good that he's
because it keeps him away from, you know, taking all the slings and the arrows and the black eyes. So I think it is. You know, he met with the three ladies, Macron, Starmer, and now he's meeting with Zelensky. All three of those girls are doing a great job in Europe. So
it's amazing how many
they all sit when they pay.
How many beta male leaders are there in this?
We'll get to that.
It's unreal.
By the way, can you just real fast? Can you respond to this, Sean? EKZ on the YouTube chat says too much time being spent discussing the Epstein files in the big picture. Is it really that important?
Yes, it is that important.
I agree.
Okay, you're dealing with a man with a lot of money.
Yep.
All right, who had influence over a lot of people, mm-hmm. and this is why I'm very, very outspoken about the Andrew Tate situation.
Which we'll get to.
Some people don't like it, and some people do like it, and it is what it is. A lot of money and a lot of connections.
Yep.
And I made this point yesterday, on my show on Rumble, and I said, listen, why did Epstein avoid accountability? How did he avoid accountability for so long? Well, because he had connections with high-powered people who pulled all the levers. Yes, it is that important. It absolutely is. If he did it to one child,
yep.
it's a problem.
Agreed.
We're hearing that he did it to,
250.
Hundreds of children and with people who steered, the rudder and moved the rudder on your country.
Yeah.
It absolutely is a big deal. I'm worn out by it, too. So I understand the sentiment. But like it is. And we need to pursue it because, again, if it gets too tough to get the answers and we just throw our hands up and give up, it's going to happen again. We can't allow it to happen again. Standards and examples need to be made and precedents need to be set in order for us to move forward as a country with real laws. Because if the laws aren't enforced, do they actually count? If it was optional to pay your speeding tickets, would anybody pay them? I wouldn't, right? If it was optional to pay my taxes and the IRS wouldn't put me in jail, the government would put me in jail, I wouldn't pay my taxes. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, so if the laws aren't enforced, they don't count. Look at the border. There are border laws. Nobody followed them because they weren't being enforced. Okay. If they're not enforced, they don't count. So the answer to that YouTube question is absolutely it matters. I know it's tiring, but we have to follow through on all of it. We have to get to the bottom of all of it, because if we don't, we're setting the precedent that, this behavior, it's acceptable, because as long as we make the process difficult to get the answers, nobody's going to get in trouble.
Let's get it back to threats to democracy, shall we?
All right, Sean, and by the way, I did not pick these clips to trigger you this morning, but you're here, and I want to get your opinion on them. So you've been very outspoken about the controversial influencers, Andrew and Tristan Tate, who both faced charges in Romania, including human trafficking and sexual intercourse with a minor. They arrived in the United States yesterday after a travel ban on them was lifted, according to their spokesperson and Romanian prosecutor. So apparently they're they're in Florida right now, and they are speaking to the Young Republicans Club in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis spoke out about this yesterday by a reporter. This is cut 13. Phil, do you have it? There we go. Roll it.
Reporting out there that controversial podcaster and human crafter Andrew Tate may be on his way to Florida. Is he welcome here? What the state sent back to Romania or whatever?
We have no involvement in that. I read about it through the media. Clearly, the federal government has jurisdiction, whether they want to rebuff his entry into the United States. And I have confidence that whether it's Pam Bondi or Kristi Noem, that they will be looking at that. I do know our Attorney General, James Uthmeyer, is looking at what state hooks and jurisdiction we may have to be able to deal with this. But the reality is no, Florida is not a place where you're welcome. With that type of conduct in the air. And I don't know how it came to this. We were not involved. We were not notified. I found out through the media.
If you don't know who they are, Andrew Tate, his brother Tristan, arriving in the United States. They face rape and human trafficking charges still pending in Romania.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what about these guys. All right. This is the problem with these guys that I have. All right. I understand everybody deserves their trial, and the process has to play out in a court of law. I just encourage anybody who looks at this and wants to conflate the two lawfare cases, the Trump case and the Tate case, because that is how Tate has framed it. OK, like, oh, well, the people going after Trump were corrupt. Therefore, the people going after me are corrupt. And I'm not saying Romania is perfect because they're not. Apparently, they just jailed the guy who won the presidential election for free speech. So it's a mess over there. Here's the issue, okay? Andrew Tate has defended the type of behavior that he has openly displayed and promoted, like, on camera. There is a video of him beating up a 15-year-old girl,
yep.
Okay? 15 years old.
Yep.
Now, the first thing that the Tate supporter crew says is, well, the laws in Romania allow 15-year-olds to consent. And my response to that is, okay, now put this hat on. That's your kid. Do you care at all about the laws in Romania at that point?
No.
Of course not. You have no skin in the game. Right now you care if it's your daughter. If it's someone else's kid, who cares, right? Because you think Andrew Tate is some symbol of male positivity. I've never met a man that I look up to who did that to a woman. And to the left, who wants to go, well, Donald Trump said grab him, but show me the video of Donald Trump assaulting a 15-year-old girl, and I'll admit that you're right. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Andrew Tate has said in a video that one of the things that he loves to do the most is network with popular, influential people, his words, on the right specifically. Okay, how did Jeffrey Epstein avoid consequences? It was by networking with very popular, influential people, in this case on the left, but really on both sides with Epstein. That is exactly what Andrew Tate is doing. Number three, when you look at the Luigi Mangione case, right, and yeah, on camera, we saw Luigi Mangione shoot and kill the United Healthcare CEO. Everyone understands that until he goes to jail, he's got to stand trial the whole nine yards. But we saw him do it. There's no question as to what went on there. Okay. The same can be said about Tate. You can watch it. Just because you don't want to, that's on you. But you can watch what he did to a 15-year-old girl. And then people, well, how do you know she was 15? Well, she was born in 1997, and the video was posted in 2012.
Wow.
So, I mean, open up your phones, yeah, take out your calculator, and do a little math. 15. Yeah. Okay? He also mentions, and she also mentions in one of the videos, that they met. He said, she's 21. I've been with her for 6 years. But 21 minus 6. Again, wow, the numbers are starting to line up, isn't it? He met her in Slovakia and moved her to England. Well, that doesn't sound suspicious at all, does it? She's got a tattoo with his last name on her thigh. We know a lot about human trafficking. If you watch Sound of Freedom, they're all branded with their trafficker's name and their trafficker's mark. Okay.
Yep.
She was nine.
I don't think she was nine when that happened.
Years
I think,
ago?
She was 21 and then he met her six years ago. So 15, you know, on camera, she's doing these sexually suggestive and exploitative, you know, things with this webcam. And she's not the only one. He says, I have a ton of girls that are making me money. I mean, the guy is a scumbag. You can't seriously, okay, take his wealth aside. The one thing he's good at is managing money. Fine. You can't be a father or a mother in this country and see your little boy and say, I want him to grow up to be like Andrew Tate.
No.
There's no way. Yeah. You're not serious. Okay. There's a group of people that he panders to and that he comes off as some sort of hero. And that group of people is deranged. I'm sorry. I have no respect for anybody who can look at a guy who does that. Oh, well, it's consensual. If you listen to the video and to her voice while that's going on, she's terrified.
Yeah.
Okay. She's terrified. He's calling her all sorts of nasty. You're my this and that. Guys, any other time we hear that a 15-year-old was moved across the world with an adult male, we call it human trafficking. Why are we not calling it that here? Okay. If you are of the thought that what Epstein did was bad, that what Diddy is alleged to have done is bad, but that Andrew Tate gets a pass, you are a hypocrite. You deserve to work at MSNBC.
Were you taking a lot of flack for that stance on social media yesterday? Because I felt like you had to kind of come out and try to defend what you're saying, even though you shouldn't have to defend what you're saying, because it's common sense and obvious to anybody with a functional brain.
Well, initially I took flack because you have, you know, of course you have these people. This is my favorite. They go, because Andrew Tate is anti-Jew, anti-Israel, whole nine. So, of course, the first thing is, how much did the Jews pay you to post that?
God.
I said, listen, here's my thing. Once I get the check from the Jews, I don't know who the Jews are, but once the check comes in,
right,
I'll take a picture of it and I'll do a little dance when they pay off my house. How's that sound? Okay, to anybody. I promise you, the first day I get a Jew check in the mail, I will absolutely show. I'll show the world.
Yeah.
I'll be proud of it. Because if the Jews pay me to say something that I'm already going to say, that's free money for me. That's
number one. There you go.
So that came in. And then, you know, I just decided, because there's a lot of people, and it happens a lot, there are things, and there ultimately always will be things that the Trump administration will do that I won't agree with. And I'm going to make my point known that I don't agree with it. For instance, a month and a half ago, Trump started to hint at the fact that he wanted the U.S. government to have a 50% stake in TikTok. I said, absolutely not.
Right.
People, whoa, you don't trust him? I said, no, I do. I just think he's making a mistake. Oh, are you turning on him? No, I just think he's making a mistake. You know what I'm saying? And so I posted a very long thing yesterday and said, look, this is who I am. All right. I'm going to say things no matter whether you want to hear them or not.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to tell you them because I believe it's the truth and because I believe you have something to add. That's me. I don't answer to anybody. I'm not afraid to speak out about anybody ever. Okay. If you don't like that, there's an unfollow button. You could fix it. Okay. You could get in there and comment and tell me how you want me to run my page. I'm probably not going to listen to you. Okay. And when I see a guy like Trump and an administration like Trump doing something that I believe will really, really drastically harm his legacy and undermine the work that we've done over the last, how long has it taken for Donald Trump to really get past the womanizer label, only for his administration to appear, at least at first yesterday, to be cozying up to a guy who is proud of reprehensible things that he did to women. Reprehensible. Now, I'm not talking about words and things. Nasty stuff. Again, something that any parent in this country would look at their son and go, yeah, no, I don't want him growing up to be like Andrew Tate. Right?
Just to interject a factoid, because not everybody knows who this is. So just to interject this, as far as Emery Tate, so he's a big influencer. Back in 2005, started his kickboxing career. But you mentioned that, you know, he's on trial in Romania for rape and human trafficking and all of this. But he's not Romanian. He was born, his dad was from Chicago, Illinois, was a chess champion. Dad was American, mom was British. That's why he has U.S. as well as British you know, birthrights and citizenship. But this is a guy who grew up in the States and then parents divorced, that he goes to London, pretty well-to-do family. This is not somebody from Romania. This is somebody who has dual citizenship in the United States of America as well as in the U.K.
And he's running it. He's in Romania because of the laws there. Right. Because of the type of business that he runs, he can't put a 15-year-old girl on camera in the United States. You know why? Because that's illegal.
You're right.
OK, in Romania, it may not be illegal, but that doesn't make it right.
Yep.
OK, I mean, again, if it happened here, you'd all say it's horrible, but the laws are different there. So it's OK. No, it's a bad law.
Yeah.
Abortion's legal in Romania. Do you support it over there? I don't. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the process. I don't agree with the law. The issue with the Tates, again, is there. I think he's a very dangerous, very manipulative person. I even saw Benny Johnson on with Piers Morgan yesterday saying, well, from what I can read, the charges in Romania have been dropped. The charges have not been dropped.
He goes back.
They're under judicial control. They have to go back on March 25th. Yep. The charges have not. But Tate is telling people he beat the case and they're believing him. You see? Yeah. So this is why I have a problem. This guy's a manipulator. He's very dangerous. He's a scummy person, nasty guy. You don't want this guy implanting himself in our movement. Yeah. He wants to do it. You know why? Because he knows he's smart. He knows that our movement is likely going to be controlling the levers of power for the foreseeable future. And if he gets in enough, he, just like Epstein, will avoid accountability for actions that he probably knows are reprehensible actions.
Wisely said.
Speaking of Epstein, Duffy Domino tweets at Pam Bondi and at us. It's 8:06. What is happening? Come on, lady. Make some arrests.
You know what they needed yesterday?
Yeah.
With the 8 a.m. thing? They needed a Greg Stalker. We started 8 a.m. yesterday.
We started 6 a.m.
Stalker's the official spokesperson now for the FBI.
By the way, this conversation that we just had that Sean was saying used to be, and you talk radio hosts who don't do this anymore know who I'm speaking to. This used to be talk radio. It used to be just calling everything out as you see it. We lost that along the way somewhere, and I want to thank Sean and everybody on this program for not doing that. All right, let's get it back to the government employees comparing replying to an email to living in North Korea.
Let's get back to Doge.
This woman, this is from TikTok. This is cut 14. This woman, a government employee, she seriously compares replying to an email, basically just saying, what did you do this week, to what it's like living in North Korea.
Oh, okay.
Let's play this here. Cut 14, go.
And again, like, it's just a flex. It's just, you need to know who's in charge, and this is one of the ways we're making you aware. And the feeling that I felt responding to that email was such a glimpse into a possible future here, a probable future here, if we don't do something about it. It felt so scary and so heartbreaking. It felt much like I would imagine living in a place like what I always imagined North Korea to be like would be like, where the energy is, yes, master, your wish is my command.
It is amazing.
Why was your voice sped up?
Just what Greg Stalker always tells me that I have to say.
Oh, my God.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
I'm just assuming she's a liberal lady. These people with the analogies of the extreme, everybody on the right is Hitler. It's Nazi work. It's and now it's North Korea. Next thing you know, Elon's going to say, I need three emails in 1 week. It's going to be like living, in the Middle East as a suppressed female to, terrorist groups. I mean, the radical analogies of, oh, my God, I need to be held accountable. It's just why these people, Sean, their brains are broke. Basic stuff.
Yeah, that one woman who came on CNN a couple days ago who got the email and she was like, I didn't know what to do. This was like harassment. Then the entire workforce in the United States is harassed then. Yeah. Because like when I worked at Sherwin-Williams, I worked in a paint store, which was a lot of fun, by the way.
Yeah.
I made the most beautiful colors. I have to tell you that, right? Beautiful. I mean, we did so well. The paint puts itself on the wall, by the way. It's a tremendous job. But, you know, we used to have to follow up like, hey, did you call your 50 accounts this week? You know, which orders went out? Which people do we need to work? Like, there was that happened.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, the sales team at the 1210 WPHT has a Odyssey has a
Salesforce
system like that.
Yeah, they have Salesforce. They have to sit there and log everything that they do.
Yes.
Just to, you know, did you make, like Sean said, did you make your calls this week?
Calls, emails, activities.
All the time. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I always like to compare it to sports because it's like, you know, did you go to the cage today? Were you in the weight room yesterday?
Yep.
You know, did you participate in this? You know, are you injured? What's your rehab looking like? We don't just kind of take our hands off and say, all right, do your thing. And, you know, when it gets done, it gets done. Accountability is not harassment, but the problem is, to them it is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have, of course, these people. Oh, well, this is like North Korea. It's not like North Korea. This is what it means to actually do your job and prove you're doing it.
Yep.
You know, if I was a CEO of a business, right? Let's say I have 100 employees. Okay. Or let's say 104 for the math's sake. Okay. I have 104. I have 100 person, you know, lower team tier one. I've got four managers of four different departments, 25 employees each. I'm going to tell each manager of that department, I need you to make sure that your teams are on top of their tasks all day. Make sure they're following up with you regularly, whether it's weekly, biweekly, daily, whatever it is.
Yep.
Because I want to know if it's my company that the people that I'm paying, right, are earning their salaries or earning their wages, not just, you know, stealing time.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Once Tom Homan deports all of the bad hombres and has fulfilled his duties, his next task should be to deport any American citizen that goes on social media and says working in the United States is the equivalent to working in Gaza, China, Russia, North Korea, or Iran. If you make those stupid comparisons, you're out. Citizenship revoked. Yeah. Anybody disagree with that?
No.
Go say hi to Little Rocket Man.
Yes. Okay?
By the way,
play with this rocket.
By the way, speaking of Tom Homan, on the other side, Nick, we have him saying that ICE agents are going to, quote, flood sanctuary cities. They're doubling the workforce.
Oh, I love it.
Are they coming to Philadelphia? Also, J.D. Vance takes a shot at the prime minister to his face about freedom of speech.
I love it.
We have all of that coming up on the other side.
If Tom Homan keeps this up, he's going to flood my shorts.
Jeez. Jesus, man.
By the way,
what's wrong with you?
Dan Borowski just set up 10:30. I'll have a guest who is an attorney representing victims of Epstein.
Oh,
that
wow.
Wow. Great job, Dan.
At what time?
Awesome.
10:30.
10:30. Okay, make
all
sure
right.
you stay tuned for that in 2 hours.
There you go. All right. 8 o'clock hour in full swing, but time to tell you about our friends at Piazza Auto Group, specifically their Honda dealerships, where I am a customer myself. I recently test drove the new Honda Prologue. It is Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge and a fast charge time. You can cruise the roads worry-free, and it has three charging options to choose from, including the portable charging kit, which I think is the best one because we're always on the go. Work, grocery store, kids, practices, school, you name it. Lease the Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. That's correct, not a typo. $229 per month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne today for details. Shop online anytime, PiazzaHonda.com.
We got to talk about this warm spring-like weather. It makes me think about my lawn, which right now is pretty green. When choosing a lawn care service, doesn't it just make sense? You hire a company that provides better results and is much safer for your family, for your pets, for your kids, or maybe you have grandkids coming over. And that's why I choose, and I have chosen for years now, Natural Lawn of America. That's my family's lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. I love that. And they use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green, while it obviously keeps protecting the safety of your family and especially your pets, too. From the organic fertilizers to the safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn makes sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. So don't just take my word for it. You can join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn safer services. Just start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly, green, lush lawn that you can be proud of and that you can feel is safe. Just schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today. That's what I have. And then you get free seeding every single year. So if you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn 800-FREE-SEED. 800-FREESEED. 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best. So do you. Call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, Greg, Sean Farish is with us. It's a Farish Friday here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT as we continue with Greg Stocker's cut sheet.
So we talked about Senator Kennedy. Apparently he went to war yesterday with NPR, which is something near and dear to my heart because, as I've said, and I won't go on the whole diatribe, but we have to, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, we do this very successfully, but we have to compete for ratings and revenue for the other stations that might be on FM, that might have a better signal than we do. We have to compete with all of them with our content. NPR, and for those locally here, it's WHYY, gets an FM stick, and it's all government paid for. They don't have to compete for money. They don't have to compete for ratings. It doesn't matter. They can go commercial free for 17 hours because it doesn't matter because we, the taxpayers, pay for the nonsense that is on that radio station. Thank you.
Good summary.
Senator Kennedy. Help me understand. Senator Kennedy went to war with. He had more problems with the content they're putting out as far as the websites go and the headlines and the news stories they're putting out. Mm-hmm. But it's all in the same umbrella of taxpayer funded propaganda, is what I would say.
Yeah.
Roll Senator Kennedy here, Phil.
For public broadcasting and NPR. And PBS have the right, whether I like it or not, or whether you like it or not, or whether Americans like it or not, to publish these articles and to broadcast this news. That's the First Amendment. But they don't have the right to do it with taxpayer money.
Amen.
At least half of America would look at these headlines and be offended. They would be offended first because they would really for three reasons. Number one, they disagree with opinion journalism. Number two, they would disagree with the headline. And number three, they would disagree with the fact that these headlines are not fair. They're not objective. They're obviously slanted to one point of view. And they're using taxpayer money. We're running a $36 trillion in debt. This is disgraceful in 2025.
Thank you.
Amen to that.
It's disgraceful whether it is left of center opinion journalism or right of center opinion journalism.
Yes.
It is disgraceful for the American people to have to fund this rot.
Yes.
Doesn't mean.
Thank you.
Phil, if you could, I think if you could just throw up the side, I don't need to see the video. Just, I want to see the, right there. Yeah, freeze it. Look at these headlines from NPR. The two at the bottom stand out to me the most. How racism became a marketing tool for country music. And Donald Trump's long embrace of Vladimir Putin. You could talk about whatever you want with Michael Avenatti and, you know, that headline at the top there. But, I mean, it's just some of these outlandish. And, look, I have no problem if you want to write outlandish columns or give an outlandish take on the radio or spew nonsense on television. But that should be funded by businesses that advertise, that come through a corporation, a company, whether it's corporate, whether it's publicly traded or not, not on the American taxpayer dime.
That's
and
right.
I would actually really love to know, and I don't know if Sean, Dawn, Greg, if you have this answer, how much money NPR collectively on an annual basis is being brought into their organization from our checkbooks?
Dawn brought up a great point last week or the week before when we were talking about this. They're sending reporters to Greenland. They're sending reporters all over the country,
Panama Canal,
all over the world to cover stories. We don't have the budget for that here.
Wouldn't
you
that
know
be
why?
Nice.
Because we're accountable to our shareholders. One more thing, and then I'll let you guys. I am not saying that I think that the government should shut down NPR. That is not what I'm saying at all. Free speech. They can say, they can report whatever they want to.
Right.
But they need to be able to compete in the realm of our world. If they can come on and get the ratings and revenue that we get, more power to them.
And they might. For them.
Yeah, good. Well, I was just going to say, we talk about, well, I voted for this. Well, I didn't vote for this. Who signed up for our taxpayer dollars to fund a media outlet? Whether you agree with it or not, Sean, I'm sure you're probably of the same belief that we are here. And again, I'm not saying they should be censored by the government. I'm saying their business model should be changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look, if you're on the taxpayer dime, you can't operate the way National Putrid Radio operates, right? Because that's just what it is. Racism, and I wonder if Darius Rucker participated in some of that racism.
Yeah,
you know, Hootie, right?
What about Shaboozy?
Shaboozy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, one of the worst halftime shows other than Kendrick Lamar that I've ever seen. But hey, you know, everybody's at the bar drinking whiskey or getting tipsy.
I'll be there in 9 hours.
Out of control. But it's just, you know, there are tons. Yeah. There are tons of the word racism, because I'm back watching NASCAR again, you know, because I like it. I always liked it. I don't like stage racing, but I like NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun now to actively root against Bubba Wallace every race. You know what I mean? Or you don't like him because he's black. I was like, no, I don't like him because he lied about a noose. That's why.
Right.
You know, when you're in the garage and every other door has the same thing, you're telling me that there's every driver is being threatened here? I mean, you know, all of them, like, you know, stupid. This whole racism thing is becoming a boy who cried wolf, right? Because now, just like the Me Too movement, just like Russia, you know, threats to democracy, all of this. It's the new, you know, it's the boy who cried wolf. People have been desensitized to that word, which is a shame, because there is real racism and it has been watered down. And now people are less likely to believe stories of real racism,
right?
Because of the Jussie Smollett and Bubba Wallace. But NPR is they're one of the perpetrators. They propagated all these hoaxes. Just like, did you see yesterday, Jake Tapper? Oh, I'm writing a book about Joe Biden's condom.
I know. What a skunk that guy
really
is.
Oh, really? So this was a guy, Jake Tapper, who he admitted that Joe Biden had a cognitive issue, but apparently it happened overnight, because on June 26th, Joe Biden was fine and it was all cheap fakes. June 27th, we had the debate. And June 28th, all of a sudden, Joe Biden was old. I've never seen someone age in 24 hours like that.
Mm-hmm. Lie about it on your TV show for the sake of Joe to win the election, and then afterwards say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to tell all in a book for profit.
Stupid.
If you think about this with NPR, though, with our taxpayer dollars, this is really no different than what we discovered with USAID, where USAID dollars were going to the Associated Press, Reuters, and other media outlets and publications. I mean, we're talking about state-run propaganda here on our tax dollars. Whether it comes from USAID or for NPR, this is the same thing here. I mean, go out there and earn a rating share. Earn some ad revenue, you skunks.
We are literally paying to be propagandized. Like, that makes me sick. Yep. You know what I mean? So they take, they rob. I call a robbery, right? Because if you don't pay your taxes, you go to jail. If you don't pay your cable bill, you don't go to jail. If you don't pay your taxes, you go to jail. Okay? They're the only organization that if you don't pay them, you go behind bars, the government. Okay? Yep. It's robbery. Okay, that's what it is.
Yep.
You know, especially with the armed IRS agents, what it is. So we are told that our money is being taken from us to fund essential services. All right, I have 100% certainty, 100%, that if we stopped funding NPR, everybody will be okay. We'll all wake up tomorrow morning, and literally every person except the people maybe who work at NPR will all be fine. Okay, remember COVID, essential, non-essential. We did the whole thing. They're not essential. Okay, Osama bin Elmo in Iraq is not essential. The people who might get radicalized over there, instead they're going to watch Sesame Street. Give me a break. You tell me Oscar the Grouch is going to prevent people from getting, you know, radicalized in Iraq? It's Iraq, for heaven's sake, right?
Kennedy's out here saying this. So the question is, this is tax dollars, right?
Yep.
Where's Doge at? Where's Elon Musk at? Why is Elon Musk not pulled the plug on NPR funding? They've pulled the funding on everything else.
Well, maybe because it has to go through Congress. I mean, that's why they introduced.
And that might be, yeah.
The two lawmakers just introduced yesterday.
Good.
They just introduced this yesterday to defund. So that would be about 1% of their funding, which they keep saying 1%, but it's a ton of money.
Sure.
So if it's only 1%, then let's get rid of it. Change your business model. But I'll also point out real quick that they receive, yes, technically direct federal funds, 1%, which is still millions, but they also receive indirectly from universities that got that money from federal and state grants.
Yep.
So
what a racket.
Yeah.
What a racket.
Yep.
So the universities get our money. Sure. They give it to NPR. The government gets our money. They give it to NPR.
It's a big money laundering operation.
And you're back to 1%, right? You go, it's only 1%. Again, I'm gonna say this again. If I hear that argument one more time, I'm going to lose my mind, okay? Because Margaret Brennan did this nonsense. Well, foreign aid is only 1% of our budget. All right, Margaret Brennan, Mags, right? Peggy, let's do this. If 1% is allowed to be wasted, if you're okay with that, if that's the threshold, I want her to send me 1% of her income so I can buy beer with it, okay? Because if you are allowed to, if wasting 1% is okay with Margaret Brennan, then she should have no problem cutting me a 1% of her income check every month so I can go buy some alcohol. All right.
Love the fact that you magged her, by the way. That was great.
Thanks. Peggy. How did we get to, by the way?
Yeah.
How did we get Peggy from Margaret?
I don't know.
Great question.
I don't even know where I'm at right now.
Sean, that is a great question. Maybe Mr. President can answer that one time.
Yeah, we're going to fix it. Well, by the way, he's signing an executive order. The English language is now going to be known as the American language. Okay? That's it.
By the way, the White House is denying this morning. We should say that the White House is denying this morning that they had anything to do with the Tate brothers flying to the USA.
Well, how did they get? Beautiful. How did they get here then? Like, there was a travel ban on them, wasn't there?
Well, the story was last week. This was a story. I'm not saying this is a certain, but that Rick Grenell was pressuring the Romanian government to release their travel ban. So the White House itself, like the Oval Office, Trump, and all of the folks that are very may have had nothing to do. Good.
Yeah.
Good. And by the way, that to me, because I posted that yesterday morning with the Tates, if the White House was involved, that puts Donald Trump's legacy in jeopardy immediately. when Donald Trump says, I kind of know this because I watch him. I kind of know what it means when he says these things. If he says, I knew nothing about it or I had nothing to do with it, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. Okay. He now, and I bet you somebody, maybe it was Susie Wiles, somebody said, watch this. Mm-hmm. You want nothing to do with this guy. If they're putting distance, if the White House is putting distance between themselves and the Tates, it tells you all you need to know about their position on that. All you need to know. I'll tell you where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Their lawyer, Joe McBride, had an employee in the Justice Department or a former associate in the Justice Department serving as White House liaison. That's where it's coming from. That's exactly where it's coming from. The Tate's lawyer had somebody who they worked with in the administration. Wow. That's the main driver of what's going on.
It's crazy. The whole thing is crazy. By the way, people are asking how they can help us against a station like WHYY and NPR. You know how you can help us? By listening to us for a long time, all day long, all day long. I'm serious. Just keep it on. And by patronizing the sponsors. Because, yes, WHYY in this country or in this city gets decent rating points. But you know what? They don't have to go to commercial break. They don't have to do 11 commercials, 11 live reads in a 3-hour show or 4-hour show. They don't have to do 16 minutes of commercials an hour. We have to keep you locked in long enough to want to stick with us for that long. They don't have to do that.
Yeah.
So it's an uneven playing field.
Yeah.
So just all I'm saying out there is if you want to help, even it out. Make it even.
Yeah, and for you select numbnuts out there that want to climb into my mentions after I got done endorsing, Piazza, Honda, and their electric SUV. Electric. Shut up. They're spending money so you get our content, you dope.
Thank you. I don't know if you need to call me dope.
Jeez almighty. Well, I'm an F-150 guy. I'm a patriot.
Shut up. Sean, do you still have your... I know Joy Reid was... Oh, you know what we should do?
What?
I got him.
As, okay. As...
That was funny.
As,
I got him.
Maybe in the 9 o'clock hour, as Donald Trump, maybe Donald Trump can call the MSNBC
Ooh.
Switchboard.
Yes.
Ooh, that'd
let's
be
do
good.
It.
All right,
so
okay.
Much fun.
All right.
The last time I prank called somebody... It was amazing. I left Adam Schiff. Have you guys seen that video? I left Adam Schiff a voicemail.
I know. See that,
as Trump.
Oh, really? No.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys remember the old prank tapes on cassette? Oh, Boys?
The Jerky Boys loved it. That's why I'm the degenerate I am today. All right, we'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour, but let's get through a few more clips.
Yeah.
Should we do J.D. Vance calling out the UK Prime Minister? What's it? Keir Starmer? Is that how you say his name? I got it.
Her name. Her. Her name.
Yeah, I got to hate
the UK. Are we sure?
I hate the UK. I hate all of Europe. I really do.
You just despise every continent except for North America.
I do.
That's not even true because you hate Canada as well.
I do hate Canada. Yeah. Cold Canucks. All right, roll it.
I said what I said, which is that we do have, of course, a special relationship with our friends in the UK and also with some of our European allies, but we also know that there have been infringements on free speech that actually affect not just the British. Of course, what the British do in their own country is up to them, but also affect American technology companies and, by extension, American citizens. So that is something that we'll talk about today at lunch.
Well, we've had free speech for a very, very long time in the United Kingdom, and it will last for a very, very long time. Certainly we wouldn't want to reach across US citizens, and we don't, and that's absolutely right. But in relation to free speech in the UK, I'm very proud of our history there.
They don't have free speech in the UK.
I know, who the hell is he talking? What is he talking about?
Free speech. Don't you go to jail in the UK for posting memes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or like, or not even memes. You go to jail in the United States for posting memes too. Ask Douglas Mackey. But or at right. least you used to. Didn't they have and in Germany the they did a 60 yes. Minutes thing about if you repost it you're a criminal too.
Hate speech. You can go to jail for hate speech.
Yeah.
They come
right to your house.
New York literally wrote a bill about hate speech because of stuff I said. So it's
really?
Yeah, dude. It was wild. When I was running the grassroots organization on Long Island, we were going to school board meetings, and I saw in a middle school every 6 feet on the wall, something about a transformation coach or a transition coach, middle school.
Oh my God.
So I was like, this is wrong. And then we had this all gender. It's an all gender bathroom. It was a, you know, thing, the male symbol, the female symbol, and something I've never seen before. So I said, you know, it's not the L's, the G's, or the B's, but when we get to the T, things get dangerous because, you know, what happened in Loudoun County. And State Senator Anna Kaplan, then State Senator Anna Kaplan, said that, you know, my comments were as dangerous as Timothy McVeigh. And then she sponsored an online hate speech bill, which was policing online speech in New York. And then she lost her election. She should have kept her mouth shut because we got somebody else elected. And she's hasn't been in elected office since. So, you know.
Wow.
GFY.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Speaking of J.D. Vance, he is speaking at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast this morning. Still no visual confirmation of Nancy Mace's arrival. She could be in bed with her husband right now getting a quickie.
Oh, that was my favorite. That was my favorite
thing. Did they break up?
Did they? I'm sure they did.
Is this the same event that she was trying to get to last year?
No.
So it's a different prayer breakfast. Okay.
It's amazing.
I'll never forget that story.
All right, Sean, get on your glasses. Karine Jean-Pierre.
Oh, she's not glasses.
Oh, that's she's
just,
not?
These are just reserved. These are reserved for Joy Reid.
Oh, I'm explosive diarrhea. Come on, man.
I'm sorry, Sean.
No, Karine Jean-Pierre is not glasses. Joy Reid is glasses.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. I had to get my props straight.
Come on, man. One has hair. The other one tries to have Trump's hair.
She says she was at the Semaphore, hosted an event yesterday at Harvard, the Kennedy Center of Institute of Politics. She says she has not watched the news since the Trump inauguration.
That's a lie.
This is cut five, Phil. Go. Five.
The binder. The old binder, before they started
the last time I've watched the news.
Don't rub it in.
Was January 20th when I was at the White House. I have not watched the news. I have really tried to focus on self-care. I've really tried to focus on my daughter. I have a 10-year-old. And I have done, I think the best way to say this is I have deprogrammed myself so that I could be a civilian again. I used to wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
So do I.
Like that was my schedule every day for 4 years. I thought that when I stepped away from the lectern, the podium, that I would have this like adrenaline, like I would need to feed my like, I need to be doing something.
Right.
And I have not missed it at all.
Whatever's in your water, I need it.
I have not missed it. But I do want to say it was an honor and a privilege to have the job to be the White House press secretary, I would do it again easily, but I don't miss it.
And still fail.
Don't miss you, by the way.
She's not missing the job because she was in over her head and not qualified for the job. Probably the worst White House press secretary I can recall in my adult life of paying attention to this stuff for sure. You know what's also interesting is self-care. That is the same thing that she's actually still programmed because the headlines were Democrats and liberals and the certain marginalized communities are now focusing on self-care in the aftermath of defeat of the election. So she's still giving you some of that rhetoric and that jargon, Sean.
Yeah, and you know what? It was her. She's one of the dumbest people I think I've ever seen. It was her who came up with, okay, Joe Biden had a bad debate. What should we do here? Let's go with jet lag and a cold. Jet lag.
Yeah.
He spent the freaking 10 days before the debate in the same location. How do you get jet lag if you don't go on a jet? And then when he got on the jet and went to Atlanta, it's in the same time zone. You don't get jet lag when you go in the same time zone. It's this. Geez, so... What a what a stupid person!
I still have five drops of the binder on my board.
Yeah,
I mean,
get rid of them.
Are we going to retire them?
Yes. Yeah.
One last time, can I rip through them real quick?
Sure.
All right. Here was this one.
I'll see you tomorrow. Come talk to me.
And this was after her nothing burger on a daily basis.
I'm not going to get beyond that.
And then if somebody asked her a really poignant question, she would say,
"I would refer you to the White House Counsel."
And then she would occasionally giggle. And then when you got her really off guard and she's having a great time, probably on a Friday.
Whoa!
Yep, there you go.
I like the whoa. You can keep that one.
Here's my binder board.
All right, that'll do it. When we come back, Donald J. Trump will join us.
And we'll call.
You're kidding.
After you're done with your interview, Kale, we'll call the MSNBC switchboard.
That's correct. Okay. Leave a few voicemails. We're going to save Joy Reid's career. Kale and Company, 9 o'clock hour on a Friday. Always the most unpredictable, the most wild. And we're back after this. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.